Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. This show originally aired on the Premier Networks on Saturday, August 6th, 2016. This is episode 1311. Enjoy. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by Epson's new EcoTank printers with Epson's line of SuperTank all-in-one printers. You can print thousands of documents without running out of ink. EcoTank is loaded and ready to print when you are. Visit Epson.com/EcoTank to learn more. Why, hey, how are you today? Good to see you. Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy, and we're talking about computers today, as usual, the internet, home theater. Scott Wilkinson's back. We'll talk to him in about 25 minutes. Let's see, what else? Digital photography, my favorite hobby. Smartphones, my gosh, there's always a new one. We'll talk about the new Samsung smartphone just announced this week. Smartwatches, they also showed off a new smartwatch. Let's see, what else? Home theater, I mentioned that. Oh, you know, those visors everybody's wearing or not wearing that nobody's wearing. Everybody was supposed to be wearing but stopped wearing the virtual reality thing, augmented reality. Very thin TVs and all of that. If you want to join the conversation, it'd be silly if I were just sitting here and talking the whole time. So why don't you call? That will help me. It will help me a lot. 3 hours of time. It would help a huge amount. 8888 Ask Leo and ask any question. I like the easy ones. Frankly, it makes me look smarter. 888-827-5536. Save the tough questions for that other person down the dial. 8888 Ask Leo. Let's see. The website. Oh, I know I need to tell you about that. I don't tell you about that enough. Some of you are saying, yes, you do, Leo. TechGuyLabs.com. And the reason you want to know that is because everything I mention, including links, everything is all there. So you don't have to. I know you're driving. A lot of you are driving. Don't take your hand off the wheels. You just remember TechGuyLabs.com. And when you get home, everything will be there. All the links, everything you need to know. TechGuyLabs.com. And that's free, by the way. I don't make you sign up for anything or pay a monthly fee or anything like that. It's just free. 8888 Ask Leo. That's the most important thing. Again, you don't want to hear me talking for hours. Well, we finally see the true benefit of Pokemon Go. You know, I was in San Diego over the last few days. I was down in Coronado. And right there on Orange Avenue, the main street there, there's a median strip with a lawn. And at all hours of the day or night, there are people sitting there playing Pokemon Go. I guess there's, you know, they congregate where there are a number of Pokestops and gyms and things. And you can just sit there and gather ye Pokies while you may. And we drove by in the evening, like 10 o'clock at night. And it's a nice warm night, beautiful night in San Diego. Beautiful. And it was like Woodstock. You couldn't see any grass. It was just hundreds of people jam-packed in there playing Pokemon Go. And I thought it was all about walking, but I guess if you find the right place to sit, you just, you know, sit there. It's a little disconcerting. At first I thought this is really great because people are walking around, they're downtown, it's really nice, it brings cities to life. But at some point it gets to be like, what, this is lemmings, there's too many of you. Go find another gym somewhere. But we now find the real beneficiaries from Pokemon Go. Who do you think? The smartphone backup battery folks, the Mophies and the Anchors, doubled their sales in the 2 weeks from July 10th. Pokemon Go came out July 6th. From July 10th to July 23rd, a 101% spike. And, you know, I know this is true because my wife is saying, I need a Mophie case for my iPhone 6S Plus. For the last year, she's been, frankly, gloating at how great the battery life is in the iPhone 6S Plus. Never need it. It lasts all day. Yeah, unless you're playing Pokemon Go. Now she needs a Mophie case. And I said, well, honey, you know, the new iPhone is coming out in just a few weeks, probably September 16th, we think. You'd be buying it for six weeks. She said, oh, I probably shouldn't. I said, oh, go ahead. Whoever you give your old phone to will love having a Mophie case. Seems like there's a new phone all the time now. The Samsung Galaxy S. I'm sorry. It's so hard to keep track of. The Samsung Galaxy Note 7 there. I got it. The Galaxy Note 7 was announced this week. A couple of surprises. One, the rumor mill got one thing really wrong. They said the battery is going to be smaller. It's not. It's the biggest battery Samsung has put in a Note, which is good. Because don't we want battery life? And when a phone is big, this is a 5.5-inch screen. The Note's always been a big phone, although we called it a phablet because it was a phone and a tablet, and we mocked people who had the giant. Now it's normal. All phones are between 5.2 and 5.7 inches. They're all in that range. Even the iPhone. They're all huge, so you don't look so strange anymore with a Galaxy Note 7. 5.5 inches. I think battery life is the next thing we really want. I think they might have solved this. We'll see. They've got a big battery in it. Not the biggest battery in the market, but the biggest they've ever put in there. And then they're doing something interesting. Now, all phones now have fingerprint readers, and I strongly recommend if you're buying a new smartphone, get one with a fingerprint reader. It's a very good way of, you know, opening up the phones. You have to have a long passcode that you have to type each time, of authenticating you are who you are, you know, you say you are. And that means for banking apps, for password apps, there are a lot of things where you really want to verify your identity more than just I have the phone. And my bank, most of the bank accounts I have, fingerprints enough to log me in, and that's awesome. Well, the new Note, the Note 7 is going to have that, but it's also going to have, and Samsung has a very good fingerprint reader. They have for a while. In fact, this phone is a lot like the S7, just with a stylus and an iris scanner. So that's the thing you see in the spy movies, you know, where James Bond walks up to the door and he goes, and it goes, and you see the light. It looks painful. See the light going over his eye. Hello, Mr. Bond. Come right in. That's what your phone's going to do. Except I don't think you'll see the light going up and down, the green light going up and down. I think that's just for the movies. Some of you may have used these. There are various places you have to use iris scanners now. Those of you who are CIA agents will know what I'm talking about. Actually, the Microsoft phone did this. Not the 950 and the 950 XL did this. But it was a real nobody used it because you hold the phone up to scan your iris and say, a little closer. A little farther. No, step back. No, up, look up, look up. No, look down. No. By that time, it's like, okay, just give me the passcode. But this, we'll see. I ordered one. I'll have it on the 19th, I think, is when it arrives. You can get it from all the major carriers, the Note 7. This one, they say, my friends who saw them at the Samsung event this week, say it's fast and it works. You don't even have to be looking at it. You just hold it up. But it remains to be seen. Sunglasses, probably not, right? Eyeglasses, maybe. Contact lenses, I hope. I'm not taking out my contacts just so I can unlock my phone. That would be silly. But wouldn't it be if it? They say it's more accurate. So it's not a retina scan. That's another kind of scan where it looks into your pupil at the back of your eye. But it's just looking at all those pretty colors and shapes that are around your pupil, your eye. It's called the iris because it looks like that, the flower, the iris. Those are apparently unique. Everyone is a special little iris snowflake. And so it's as good as a fingerprint. Oh, and more importantly, it doesn't change as you age. Not enough anyway to a fingerprint can. You know, I know people who can't use a fingerprint reader. People who do a lot of woodworking and sanding and things, they don't, their fingerprints are not legible enough for a fingerprint reader, but the iris should work. And if it works fast and reliably and is accurate, I'm all for it. They call this biometric recognition. And this is what we need, isn't it? A way to prove we are who we say we are. That's important. Not just for banking. You know, Twitter, I understand, rumor has it, is going to start allowing anybody to be verified on Twitter. And that'll make it a better place, right? Because If you have to stand up for your own words, you tend to be nicer, don't you? If you're anonymousjerk.com, doesn't matter. You can say anything you want. And I think so. Authentication, proving you are who you say you are, it turns out to be a hard thing to do, but if you do it right, a very good thing to do. All right, let's take some calls. You don't have to. You can use a phony name. That's okay. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888-ASK-LEO. That's the phone number. Call me and let me know what your computer question, your tech question, anything with a chip in it. You will be speaking at first, not to moi, but to toi or soi. I don't know. My French isn't good enough to know what that is. To her. We should get Micheline on and she could tell me. You'll be talking to Heather Hammond, the phone ranger. Hello, Heather.
Hey, you did have that right.
Soi?
Toi.
Toi. You is toi.
Mm-hmm.
Or
tu.
Tu. Or vous.
Tu je. Blah,
why are we declining? We are declining. Let's stop. No
I
more
know,
conjugating. Wait a
be...
minute. That's not what I meant.
Je suis tu es. La la la. I'm pretty good at this.
De ma tante.
And I ate French food at a French restaurant last night, so it should be helping my brain.
I noticed you have to have the phlegm, the French phlegm to really speak properly. Do I sound like Pepe Le Pew?
Je consume le rosé.
Le rosé.
So.
Le pinot noir. Le pinot blanc. So I think you've been lining up callers. I hope you have.
Yes.
Yeah.
Been a real taskmaster today.
Oh, are you?
Mm-hmm.
So don't take it personally. If Heather, if you call, this does happen from time to time, and you ask a question, and Heather said, not today, thank you. It's just because we just had that question. Or you're, you know, a moron or something like that. It's nothing personal. No, it's because people underestimate how important your job is. You behind the scenes are carefully shaping and molding and crafting this show because it really is a show. It's like Soylent Green. It's made of people and the right ingredients. And so you're helping bake the cake. You're putting the spices in. And so
yes.
if at sometimes, you know, you call in and we're doing a cinnamon cake and your pepper, don't feel bad. It just, you know.
I'm like, I just can't work with this.
Anyway, we have wonderful people I know on the line.
Mark in Redlands just blew me away. He needed almost no sugar or flour.
Oh, wow. We're going to be a flourless cake today. Hello, Mark. Thank you, Heather. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Oh, I have to do the thing. What do I? No, I did the thing. Hello, Mark? Oh, no.
Hello.
Ah, there he is. Didn't mean to wake you up.
He was still cooking.
Hi. You were still
How
cooking.
How are you?
He was still basting. I am well. How are you?
I'm doing very well.
What is up?
So my question is, I recently upgraded from the HTC M1-8 to the Galaxy S7 Edge.
Nice.
And I love the phone. But I didn't realize how much I was going to miss the IR blaster.
Oh, the 7 doesn't have infrared.
No, it does not.
Oh, yeah. You know, they don't really bill that in the phone. And so some phones do and some phones don't. And what this means, as you know, and I'm telling everybody else, is you can use it as a remote for your TV.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's a very nice luxury.
I agree.
Once you are missing it, well, you really notice. I've seen some DIY stuff online on YouTube, and I've seen, I checked out this company, Jackcom, that made this little nub that clicks in. It's intentionally made for Apple devices. I've got an iPad, too. Didn't seem to work very well. So do you by any chance know of any alternatives that I can use to maybe make my own that could work or something along that?
Yeah. You actually, when you say IR blaster, you're actually answering your own question. Samsung doesn't call it an IR blaster or LG. They just say we have little infrared light on the top of our phone, which can be paired with the appropriate software to become a remote control. IR blaster is something that TiVos and other things come with to give them infrared capability. It's a little dongle that hangs over the infrared port on your whatever TV receiver or whatever. Or it can be in the vicinity, and then you can use any other wireless technology to talk to it from your phone. So I used something, what was it called? I think it was the Toco. Let me see if I can find it, if I can look it up. That works this way. It's a giant kind of infrared blaster you put in your audio visual cabinet, and then you connect to it via Wi-Fi, which your phone's capable of. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if Samsung took the IR blaster out of their phones because they thought these kinds of things probably are the better way to do it. So this was something that one of our listeners, I think Ellie in Hawaii, told me about, and I ordered it. And it's kind of a neat idea. I'm going to scroll back. This is going to be great radio through my Amazon order history. Man, I shouldn't buy so much stuff on Amazon. This is ridiculous. And see, because that's where I got it. See if I can find it here. What is, maybe somebody in the chat room remembers the name of this thing. It was something, it was kind of funny name. In any event, there are a number of things like this. The idea being they do the infrared, you connect via Bluetooth or Wi-Fi and tell them what to do. And then in some ways this is better because they can have a broader variety of capabilities than your phone had. The phone, you use the software that came with the phone, although you can download third-party software, and you know it's kind of hit or miss, depends on what it can do. I just cannot find. Let me do a search for remote.
Would this said device also have the capability? I know the Peel Smart Remote app allowed me to channel that function too.
This does all of that. It even has a channel guide, and it was quite impressive. I'm going to search for infrared. No, yeah, see the Amazon search, unfortunately. There are also Logitech Harmony remotes. Remember those, the all-in-one remotes? Those do a those do a similar thing. But I know you don't want a remote. Your goal is to have this in your phone. And that's
ideally.
That's why you would like this, because it sits in your phone. I mean, it sits in the cabinet, and your phone talks to it. You don't even have to. The nice thing is when you get to RF, the problem with infrared, you have to aim it.
Right.
When you go into radio frequency, whether it's Bluetooth or even better, Wi-Fi, you don't have to aim it. You can be in another room and change the channel, or better yet, mute the TV, that kind of thing. Well, I'm just going to have to search for this off the air. I just I cannot find it. And maybe Ellie's listening. She's going, Leo, I told you it's the Blue Moo. Thank you. Somebody in the chat room is very smart. Blue Moo. How could I forget? BLU MOO. It's exactly designed to do what you want, and it looks like they've even added capabilities since I saw it last. It's $80 on Amazon. The nice thing about this is doesn't matter what phone you're using. iOS doesn't, Apple's iPhones don't do infrared either. You can get a new phone as long as you're, this is also compatible with the Amazon Echo. So you can you can talk to your Blue Moo, and you can talk to your TV. So if you have an Echo, you can say, I want to watch the Olympics, and it'll turn it on. Or go to Channel 50 or turn off everything, which is really pretty cool. So it's BLU MOO, and it's a little infrared device that sits in your television cabinet, and it controls all the devices automatically. And you don't have to aim. You just use your phone. I think it's the best. In fact, you'll think it's a better solution than what you had. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Thank you. iPad 9734114 or whatever. That's it. The Blue Moo. And it's pretty cool. Speaking of vision, here's the man with the golden eyeballs. That sounds terrible. Scott Wilkinson, our home theater guru. He joins us every week. Scott is the host of the Home Theater Geeks podcast, which you can hear on my podcast network, twit.tv/HTG. He's also editor-in-chief at the AVS Forum. Well, Scott, I did it. I couldn't resist. I resisted as long as I could. You know where it started?
Tell me.
I had to get the new Xbox One S.
Yes.
For review. Not that it's very different from the Xbox One, but one of the things that comes with the Xbox One S is one of these UHD Blu-ray players.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
that plays
absolutely.
The 4K UHD movies. Then I...
Blu-rays, yeah.
Yeah. Then I realized, I hit myself in the head, I don't have a 4K TV.
Oh, man!
So I said, what would Scott Wilkinson do? So I bought the B6, not the G6.
Good for you.
The B6 is actually surprisingly less expensive than the high end. This is the LG OLED. It's the TV panel that won the value shootout. It's the one you've recommended. But the panels are all the same in the G6 and the B6 line, right?
Essentially so, correct.
I'm not getting 3D. I don't care.
Right, right.
In fact,
it's a feature thing and a design thing. That's the difference.
This thing is so thin. They don't even talk anymore about how thin these things are, because at this point, it's like it's razor thin.
Yeah, millimeters.
Millimeters. I guess they don't need any. They don't need any thickness.
They don't.
I mean, the base has all the electronics, but I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Very simple onboarding. But then I realized, well, wait a minute. Hold on. Hold a second there. I've got the player. I've got the TV. But I think that my Onkyo receiver is probably not capable of passing the UHD.
How old is that Onkyo receiver?
It's old. So I bought a Denon. You recommended, I think, the 910, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's a 7.1. I think it even does it at Atmos. It might. I don't have speakers up above. It doesn't matter.
I think it does have Atmos.
Yeah, I think it has. Just in case.
Yeah.
Someday.
Exactly.
I don't want to. And then I realized, well, wait a minute. Hold on.
Uh-oh.
Oh, wait a minute. I had to buy all new HDMI cables. And that's where I came
to
proper.
No,
I don't?
No. Probably
don't I
not.
Need the new?
Unless they're really old HDMI cables. Any reasonably recent HDMI cable will be able to convey 18 gigabits per second.
Well, there's $10 down the tubes.
Well, it's only $10.
No, I know they're cheap. In fact, $5. I bought them in a 2-pack.
Yeah.
So
from where? Amazon.
Amazon Basics. But it's a challenge because you try to figure out what kind of HDMI cables. I thought I needed HDMI 2.0A or something like that.
No, there are some companies that will sort of label, this is an HDMI 2.0A cable, but cables are not rated by HDMI version number.
Right.
That really has to do with the capabilities or what it is that's getting sent over HDMI. And you need HDMI 2.0A on your receiver and on your TV in order to be able to convey the what's called metadata for high dynamic range.
So I do need better cables.
No.
Oh, just the port. The cable doesn't matter.
Port. Correct. The ports are what matter.
Because I looked in the manual and it didn't say, it just said a high-speed cable.
High-speed cable. That's all you need.
That's all the HDMI would work then.
Any HDMI cable. Because all the HDMI cable is a pipe. It doesn't know
when they say HDMI spec, they're not talking about the cable, they're talking about the port.
Correct.
Okay. Well, I did get the latest port, I think, on the Denon receiver.
You did. You must have. Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Anyway, I got new cables.
And certainly the new TV has it, so because it's
and
an HDMI.
Then I realized, well, I need a bigger house to put this. No, I didn't do that.
Now, did you get which one did you get? The 65-inch?
Yeah, why not?
55?
Why not? They're not. And I had a bunch of points left over from my American Express card because we bought the whole. We charged the new studio, so it didn't actually. I saved thousands of dollars, so that was good.
Well, LG has been reducing the price,
I noticed it keeps coming down. So. Mm-hmm. This was the trigger, was just dumb Xbox was the trigger, but.
And that was what, $300-$400?
Yeah, $300.
For the half a terabyte?
Well, unless you include the new house, and then we're talking.
Now we're talking
six
hundreds
figures.
Of thousands of dollars. Yeah. All right. Well, you're going to love that new OLED, I'm sure.
Absolutely. I did the setup, and I'm very impressed because they included. You know, I don't like smart TVs. I often say of my Samsung, I wish this were just a monitor that I could put the smarts in with Roku or whatever. But this has WebOS, which they bought from HP. Remember the old Palm? Right. It was a phone. The old Palm phone had WebOS. The onboarding, that's what I'll call it, when you turn on the TV and it says, okay, now we're going to set it up, was quite good.
Good.
It said, the first thing it says, is this a showroom or your house?
Yep, exactly. That's a smart thing to do when a TV manufacturer does that because they're completely different environments. Yeah.
It's still a little bright. Well, so I went in and I put it in movie mode.
Good. That was my next question.
Actually, no. There's an there's another mode that's like ILPS certified or something. There's a some sort of looks like a fancy mode.
ISF certified.
Yes. Okay. Is that better than movie mode? I would think.
Well, it might be. Although that is probably a mode where you should go in or have me go in and calibrate it with an ISF calibration and save it under that mode.
That's what it looks like. It's like a mode that you can customize. Okay.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. Without that, I still think that probably movie mode is the best default one to do.
Yeah. Good. You know, all right. Well, I'll put it back.
Colors.
It seems very bright. I'm actually surprised because I thought OLEDs were not supposed to be very bright. And I watched a little bit of the Olympic opening ceremonies. They're not in 4K. They're not OLED. In fact,
but they are.
Oh, they are.
In very few cases.
If I had watched it live, maybe.
Well, actually not. Do you have DirecTV or Dish?
No, I have.
Or Comcast?
Comcast, yeah.
Okay. Comcast is showing the Olympics, 83 hours or so of it, in 4K.
Well, how about that?
And there's only one way to get it.
How?
And that is with an app on the TV. It won't come through the cable box.
Oh, yeah, because it's internet. They can't. Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
Exactly. So it's coming through an app on the TV.
Well, I installed Netflix, and I think Netflix has some 4K content.
Well, they do.
I installed Amazon. I mean, I was very impressed for a smart TV. And now I see there's a good reason you are going to use the smart TV features because you need for the 4K streaming to use the apps on the TV.
That's right. Okay. At this point, you do. So get the Xfinity Ultra HD Sampler app.
Oh, I'll try that tonight.
That's specifically the app.
Okay.
And that will show you 83 hours of the Olympics. Not necessarily. It'll be on demand. It won't be live.
Yeah, so isn't it? NBC's.
Yeah, right.
So they can put in commercials.
Yeah,
they're delaying it 1 hour to give them time to put in commercials.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I guess.
But
they have to
if you get that app, if you get that app, you will be able to watch some of the Olympics in 4K. I wish I had it. I don't have that.
Popcorn's on me.
Yeah, man.
You can calibrate the television. All right. Well, anyway, so far, so good. I was very impressed, but I'll give you a more detailed review next week.
Oh, I can't wait to hear about it. Yeah.
Home Theater Geeks, twit.tv/HTG. Now I are one of you. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. We'll have more right after this. Yeah, so now I'm going to be wondering about 4K content. I did buy a UHD Blu-ray.
Samsung? No, that's Xbox.
Xbox.
Oh, you bought an actual disc. Which one did you get?
Yeah.
Oh, he's gone. Okay. Marsroom asks, where do you get the app? And you get the app from... Well, actually,
store on the TV.
Yeah, that's probably where you would do it.
Yeah, no, you have to do it. You can't install an app from anywhere else.
Yeah, exactly. And I just wrote an article on AVS Forum called How to Watch the 2016 Summer Olympics. And specifically, I wanted to talk about streaming and 4K. And so in that article, there's a link to the Comcast site where it tells you exactly how to download it, and you want to authorize it with your Comcast account. Yeah.
Somebody's saying you need the X1, but I don't think I'll need the X1 if I'm playing it off the TV.
What do you mean the X1?
The Comcast cable box, because I'm not playing it broadcast.
No,
I'm playing it off the TV.
No, that's correct. Yeah. That's correct.
Yeah.
Now, the Comcast...
So here's what I got. I didn't want to get Smurfs 2. So there's not a lot of choices.
No, so, there aren't yet. Journey to Space,
Next Up
that's
Mars,
good.
Journey to Space, yeah, HDR, film for IMAX, so I figure it probably really is HDR,
man.
Right?
I'm sure it is. Wow.
Includes 4K SDR and 4K HDR.
Yep.
Ultra HD TV with HDR needed to access 4K HDR. So I figure for a test disc, this is probably... Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a good one.
No doubt.
And
the blacks will be black.
Oh, exactly. You'll see just how black those OLED blacks are, man. Wow.
Will I see the stars? Let's see.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great type of disc, any kind of outer space scene is great.
Well, as long as it's not upscaled, and I don't know if how you would know if it is or not, right?
Well, yeah. Was it shot in native 4K?
Or what are they doing? Well, I guess they could. 4K cameras are small enough now. They could probably bring
space, oh, sure. Right? Sure. Absolutely. In fact, I've got a guy coming on the podcast within the next month. I don't remember the exact date. He's the director of photography for A Beautiful Planet, a movie that was shot partly from the International Space Station.
Ooh.
With Canon 4K cameras.
Yeah, see, so, the cameras now are not huge. The IMAX cameras are, but so the model.
Well,
I
even
got
the
is,
IMAX ones, yeah.
Yeah, the IMAX ones I thought were pretty big.
Not anymore.
I was talking to a friend who just shot a movie for Ang Lee on 3D UHD. It's the Billy somebody's long.
Oh,
time
Billy Lynn's long halftime walk. Yeah. You know the guy who shot that?
No, he was in it. But but he said that the camera. I asked him about the camera, and he didn't. You know, he said, "Well, it's one lens, not two, but there's a mirror inside that splits it."
Oh,
so
that's
I don't
odd.
Know what the technology?
I thought they
is.
Were using. Yeah, I thought they were using a dual red camera setup.
Well, they,
you know,
it may well be a dual. It probably is dual red behind what he's seeing.
Oh, okay.
Right? I don't know. I mean, I think that's how they do it. Think... But anyway, I've seen. I asked him if there were reds. He wasn't sure. So
yeah. Okay, so he was actually in the movie. He was an actor.
Yeah, he plays the Dallas Cowboys coach.
Oh, man, I cannot wait to see that movie.
I didn't because even
not,
know about
not
it.
Only, oh, yeah. Not only is it 4K and 3D, Ang Lee shot it at 120 frames per second.
That's what he was saying.
It's amazing.
If I get the deep Blu-ray of that, will that look really...
Oh, it'll look fantastic, right. I'm sure, but it won't be at 120 frames per second.
Oh, you can't do that yet.
No, Blu-ray, even Ultra HD Blu-ray doesn't have that capability.
Hey, we got to take a break. Can you stick around?
Sure, happy
okay,
to.
Thanks. Nathan Staton, our musical director, with a little thinly veiled editorial comment. I'm leading a semi-charmed life. Yes, it's true. It is true. There are certain advantages to being the tech guy. I was talking to a friend who said, I just imagine your house just kind of filled with TVs and wires and computers and... Yeah. Kind of. Mostly my office. Actually, my office is better than it used to be. It used to be really out of control. Like Fibber McGee's closet. Like you wouldn't want to open the door because things would spill out. And I've had to tone down it down just a little bit. But that is why the website's called Tech Guy Labs. It's where we test this stuff. And to be honest, the reason I became a tech reporter is because I wanted to be able to play with all the newest toys. There you go. I admit it. Jason on the line from San Clemente, California. Hi, Jason.
Well, hello, Leo. I want you to know up front that I have been enjoying a delicious lunch while I was in hold at my favorite restaurant.
What's that?
So thank you. Sonny's Italian restaurant in San Clemente.
What did you have?
Oh, I had eggplant parmesan that was just out of this world.
Oh, well, good. I'm glad we did. We kept you on hold long enough. We didn't have to interrupt lunch.
Perfect. Anyway, here's my question. And thank you so much for that. Longtime listener, love your show.
Thank you.
I was at the Apple Store at the Genius Bar yesterday with my MacBook Pro that was having an unrelated problem regarding this next question that I've got for you. He was looking at all of the applications that are running and the various amounts of CPU that were being taken up. And I am running Carbonite, and I also run Time Machine. And he said to me, your Carbonite is gobbling up about 99% of your CPU, and you've also got Time Machine. Why are you redundant? Most of our clients, we recommend that you use one or the other.
He's a moron. He may not be. He may be called a genius. But he's a nitwit, and I'll tell you why.
Okay. Yes.
The difference between you should have both. The difference between Carbonite and a Time Machine is very simple. One is sitting next to your desk, next to your computer on the desk, and one is off-site. And if the house burns down, your Time Machine will be not a whit of help to you.
You're absolutely correct.
That's the difference. Second reason I call him a nitwit and not a genius is nobody looks at the CPU meter and says, oh, look, it's at 100. It's at 100 because you're not doing nothing.
Oh.
So the way computers work, you should tell the genius this.
I will.
Is they'll use the resources available to them. People, and people make this mistake commonly. I'll see geeks will do this all the time. Oh, my gosh, all my memory's used up. Oh, my gosh, this program's using all the cycles. Well, what do you want it to do? Only use half and just say, oh, you know, keep the other half. I don't need it. No, the software and operating systems are designed to use the resources available to them until something else needs it. The minute you start typing, for instance, Carbonite will go, okay, I'm done. And that's called, there's the technical term for that, and I'm not kidding, is NICE. Programs that are NICE will observe, you know, rules about how rude to be about using up resources. That's memory, disk space, and CPU cycles. And they'll get out of the way. So Carbonite is designed to be NICE. But at the same time, if the computer's just sitting there in a corner not doing anything, don't you want it to use all the resources it needs and work as quickly as possible?
Absolutely.
That's how computers work. So tell the genius, maybe you should go back to school, Mr. Genius. This is, by the way, this is kind of also, I hate to say it, but sounds a little self-serving, right? Apple's saying, oh, you don't need any other backup. You're using our backup.
Right.
Well, I can tell you why you, and it doesn't have to be Carbonite. And let's be clear, Carbonite's a sponsor. So you can judge my opinion the same way you judge the geniuses. But there is a difference in the kind of backup. And I do believe whether you use Carbonite or something else, you should have off-site backup, even if it's just taking your Time Machine disk and swapping it once a week and bringing it to work. Time Machine, I'm not crazy about as a backup solution. I use it because it's kind of Apple's approved and it gives you versioning. And so there's some benefit to it. But the way it does it, if you ask people who know about backup, they will kind of mock it. It doesn't do it in an elegant way. In fact, Apple's going to address that coming next year, not with El Capitan, but probably some months after El Capitan comes out. Apple will change the file system to the new APFS, which does the right thing that Time Machine's doing kind of in a what we call a kludgy fashion. It does what we call snapshotting, and that's really what Time Machine's pretending to do, but not. So
interesting.
You don't have to use Carbonite. I'm not going to. This isn't necessarily a plug for Carbonite, but I do think an offsite backup is. There's Backblaze. There's SugarSync. Lots of you know. If you're geeky enough, lots of people roll their own backup. You know, with things like rsync or BitTorrent sync, or I've mentioned the file transporter before. There's lots of ways to do it, but having a backup out of the house is, I think, a critical part of your backup. So at the very least, the genius should acknowledge that. He could say, well, I don't want you to use something that's going to use up 100% of your CPUs. The way to know if that's proper or not is to keep that process monitor running and then start doing something else and see if Carbonite says, no, no, no. Do you notice? Does your machine seem slow when you're using it?
Nope. I didn't notice anything at all. That's why it was very interesting when he pointed that out to me, because this, to me, it's my first Mac. I've had it for a little over a year. You know, a PC guy for 20 plus years before that, and this thing is lightning fast.
Yeah.
So when he pointed that out to me, it didn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Well, and so this is a common mistake. Windows geeks make this mistake too, and they look at the monitor and they say, well, and they do it with my RAM as well. Oh my gosh, my RAM's full. Either they say, I need more RAM, or I got to get rid of that program. No, the program and the operating system are doing the right thing. They're using the resources available in absence of anybody else needing them. That's what you would want.
Yep.
It's like at this nice restaurant. They have all these extra tables. You fill the tables, right? And if it's rush hour, you know, you can be capacity. But you don't just artificially say, no, no, we have to keep half the tables empty just in case. Maybe somebody's going to come in. Maybe Jason's going to want an eggplant parmigiana. So that's all it is.
Wonderful. I really appreciate the explanation. And I want to say again that I have been a Carbonite user for over 8 years. So I'm fully, you know, bought into all of that. It was just interesting to hear from his perspective what he said. And I wanted to get your take on it. And you made complete sense.
Good. And as long as you don't feel like your computer's slow, then that's the real answer, right? It's working fine.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. None of that.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. I hope you never have to use Carbonite.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, you're very welcome. It's a great product. It's fun to say about a product. I hope you never have to use it. Only about 45 seconds left. Chip, can you hang on through the top of the hour?
Yeah, sure. Okay.
Yeah. Are you driving?
No, my battery's low, so if I don't hear from me, then I'll talk to you next time.
Well, just quickly ask the question, and then if you, I'll answer it when I come back.
Okay.
What's the question? My
picture disappeared. I read something about no media. The problem is every time I turn the phone back on, I have to delete the no media file. There's about 15 of them.
All right.
And it's no fast way to delete
I can. If your battery dies, we'll talk about it when I come back. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I hear that Scott Wilkinson is standing by. I shall let you have the con, and I will give you a lovely video with your clock in it.
Oh, my clock is very good. Yes, that's very important.
And the journey to space. All right.
Yes.
All yours.
And there was actually somebody in the chat room mentioned The Martian, which is very, very good.
Yeah, but my problem is I've seen that movie twice. I don't want to see it again. I don't care how good the disc looks. What, am I going to just watch it and see how good it looks?
Well, I do, but that's me.
Yeah, no, I'm not a fan of that. I watch movies because I'm interested in seeing the movie again. But I've seen The Martian twice. Maybe I'll see it a third time.
You know, one of the movies that I saw a clip of, they were actually grading it, mastering it at Fox, called Eddie the Eagle, about a ski jumper.
Yeah, the British jumper, yeah.
Right. And the HDR looked amazing. So that just came out on Ultra HD Blu-ray, so I would recommend that one. I haven't gotten that one yet. I really want to get it. It's probably a good movie, but B, it's also got really excellent high dynamic range imagery on it. But I'll bet you that space one's good.
I gotta figure out if it's upsampled or not. I bet it's not. I think they probably bring 4K cameras out.
I would believe so.
Yeah,
I do. Any of these early 4K Ultra HD Blu-ray releases, I would bet are either scanned from film at 4K or higher. They can now scan at 6K and 8K, and then down-res that to 4K, and that's a better process than upscaling. Certainly by a long shot, or they shoot it digitally at native.
Your alarm's going off. I'm sorry. I was talking to somebody. His alarm is going off. I heard the sound. Yeah, that makes sense. Let me see. This is the movie narrated by Patrick Stewart. Famous,
one of my favorite voices.
Famous starship captain.
Indeed. It'd be interesting to see if you can find. So very often they won't tell you what the sort of provenance of this of a disc will be. Like, how was it shot? How was it converted? You know, that sort of thing. It'd be interesting to see if they actually reveal that kind
I'll read this press release, see if it says anything.
Okay. Key 43 says, my background looks very zen.
It always has. Actually, you're a hippie.
I'm a hippie. I'm an old-time hippie. What can I tell you? I am. No doubt about it. We've also been talking a lot in the chat room about a problem with the Vizio E-Series from 2013. Apparently, a lot of the LCD panels are crapping out right after the warranty period, of course. What is it, 4013... is asking, we've been back and forthing with him a bit, and he says, well, so what are owners supposed to do for a replacement? Since it's out of warranty, it's a problem, and I don't know a good answer. It's really unfortunate. It shouldn't be happening. I think I read somewhere earlier in the chat room that there might be a class action lawsuit about it, in which case, join the class, because that's wrong. There's no doubt about it. I'm not sure what else you can do about it because, you know, replacing the LCD panel is going to be very expensive, probably more than the set cost to begin with. The E-Series, the Vizio E-Series, is kind of their entry level. It's why it's the E-Series, I think. And so it probably wasn't very expensive. Even the 70-incher, which seems to be where most of these problems are occurring. So, you know, I'm afraid the best solution is probably to buy a newer TV. And it seems to have only affected that one line, maybe even only that one size, from 2013. So I'm guessing they must have had a problem on the production line. I mean, it's reprehensible, and hopefully they would do something about it. But since Vizio just got bought...
Oh, we should have talked about that. What is that going to mean?
Well, nobody knows. It's really making me nervous.
I mean, weren't their panel? I know they're an American company, but their panels were made in China all along.
Oh, well, if what some of the people here said is true, then they were Sharp panels, and those are made in Japan.
Japanese panels, yeah.
Yeah.
So that could change everything.
It could. I mean, certainly LeEco, which is LeEco, it's the company that bought Vizio, or will buy Vizio, it's supposed to be finalized by the end of the year. They will undoubtedly use Chinese panels in Vizio.
Because they're a Chinese company.
Yeah, exactly.
What are they? Do they make TVs now, LeEco?
They do. Yeah, they do.
Terrible name.
And smartphones. And they are called the Netflix of China. They are a content provider.
Oh, wow.
And Echo, LeEco, E-C-O, stands for ecosystem. They call themselves an ecosystem company.
Hmm.
So they do content, they do devices, and this is their push into, you know, outside of China, I think, into the American market by buying Vizio.
65 millimeter high resolution scanning and digital rendering by IMAX Post. Sounds like a lot of this is film that was scanned.
And it would
that
have
65 millimeter means.
Oh, yeah, they could have scanned it at 8K if they wanted.
Yeah. Yeah,
certainly
space footage provided by IMAX. So this is presumably high-quality film stock.
And certainly IMAX film cameras are still very big, so you were exactly right about that.
Yeah,
they have to be, because a 65-millimeter film is big.
Big.
And you put it in a canister, and it's going to be a really big canister.
Scott, thank you. We'll talk next week.
My pleasure.
All right, see you.
Bye-bye.
A big canister. Well, hey, 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 how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography, smartphones, smartwatches, and all that jazz. 8888 Ask. Leo, we've been talking to Chip in Philadelphia. Did you hang on, Chip? Is your phone dead?
Yeah, it's still. I'm still alive.
Still alive. So what kind of Galaxy phone do you have?
I have a 3, which I keep all my old pictures on, and I have a 5. Both of them went out about the same time.
Oh, no.
So I don't know.
Do either of them have SD cards, or are they both just the memory in the phone? Did you add a card to the phone?
The one on the S3 has the card, and there's no problem with if I kept the pictures on the card. But the problem is when I have it on the phone and the internal drive, that's where all the pictures are disappearing.
That means probably that the internal storage is failing.
On both phones at the same time?
I know, it's a little weird. So the no media files are created. They're supposed to be hidden, but they're created. So you delete them, right?
Right. I read somewhere on the web people said that they were the cause of it. And I even got an app to delete those, but that app doesn't work. It's I think it's Media RE No Media or something like that.
So I see. Yeah, the idea of the .no media file, which you shouldn't see, but you're seeing, or folder, I should say, is to kind of hide pictures. Right, or maybe it is a file. I'm looking at this. So people have recommended using a file called .no media. So one thing, did you clear the cache, the gallery cache? It's one thing I'm hearing.
I haven't done it on the S3, but on the S5, I cleared something, and all the pictures have disappeared. appeared on the album. I actually went into one of the files, and I still see the pictures there, but it's not in the gallery anymore, so I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah. My initial concern is that the data, that the drive is failing as a storage medium. I presume I've got backups of all the images, right?
Yeah, I kept it on my SD card.
I would back it up to a computer as well. Just, you don't want to lose the pictures, right?
Right.
So your real concern is not about losing the pictures at this point. It's about the phone and why is it doing this?
Right. What's causing it?
Yeah. I don't know. Let me do some research and see if I can figure that out, because that is. I do see, you know, these no media files, and in fact, it seems to come up a lot with S3s, and it has something to do with hiding files. A file, you know, Android's based on Linux. The file that begins with a period in Linux is hidden, is invisible. So this is clearly some mechanism to say to, you're not supposed to see the .nomedia file. But what it's telling the operating system is, don't look at whatever's in this folder. You don't need to scan it. So it takes time for a phone to go through all your folders and look and see if there's pictures there, and then generate thumbnail images. Because you want those, when you look at a folder or you're opening your gallery, you want it to pop up. You don't want it to go boom, 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 slowly filling in with images. You've seen that happen probably. That's if there's
right,
no
that's
cache.
What happens.
Yeah, there's no cache bill. So that no media file is saying, don't scan this folder. You're saying they're just appearing automatically?
I mean, I have to delete the no media in order to, for the
right.
pictures to...
At that point, the pictures never went away, by the way. The no media is just saying to the operating system, you don't have to look in this folder and cache thumbnails of the images in here. That speeds everything up. If you delete the file, does it the .nomedia file, does it come back?
Yeah, it comes back. And it does that bum, 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 like you said.
Yeah, because it's not caching them. The good news is it's not affecting the pictures are always there. All it's doing is telling the operating system, don't generate a thumbnail cache. I'm not sure why it would come back, so that's what I'm going to have to do some research on. But now you understand what it's there for. It's a convenience for the operating system. It's a way of indicating to the operating system, hey, look, don't look in here. You don't need to look in here. We don't need thumbnails generated of whatever's in here. There's no media in here. And that speeds up operation of the phone. In your case, though, it slows down the gallery because the gallery is looking in there. It wants those pictures to be there.
It's not finding it.
Well, they're there. It just has to generate the thumbnails to display it. So you're seeing the thumbnails being generated in real time. I think we need to figure out why that .nomedia file is being generated. That's not something that should just come back. Unless, did you, so these, are you, you're telling your camera to store the images on the SD card, is that right?
Yes. Okay. Every time I take a picture, it goes automatically into the SD card.
And that's behaving properly.
Yes. That's behaving.
What I would try, and you can do this with, there are a lot of file manager programs that work on Android. Astro is one I use. ES Files is another popular one. You can download them for free. Take the files that are in those marked folders, no medium, and move them into the gallery file on the SD card. In other words, physically move the files, not the no media file, but those files into where those pictures are stored. On the SD card, because that's the SD card is where the operating system says this is where pictures belong. I'm not sure how pictures got in that other folder, but it's marking them as saying, no, there's nothing in here. Don't look at this. Move them to where there is something, your gallery on the SD card. Would that be okay with you?
Yes. The problem is if I take a screenshot or something, it always stores it in the internal drive, and I can't find it without
deleting there's a screenshot folder. Yeah. So that's another thing. If you can move the screen, it might be in the settings where it saves screenshots. Have it save it to the SD card. There's something a little strange about the phone. I mean, my best recommendation would be, do you keep the phone up to date? Have you accepted Android updates on that S3?
I've tried not to accept the updates.
Okay, that's the first thing. That's probably something you should do on both the S3 and the S5. The fact that it happened on both phones simultaneously tells me there's some program you put on there, some gallery program or camera program, something to do with photos that has...
That's what I'm afraid of, yeah.
Yeah, some bad behavior from this... It's trying to do the right thing. It's trying to mark these photos saying, no, I'm not storing pictures there. I'm putting them on the SD card. So, Android, don't even look in this folder. And you delete the .no media, and it puts it back. It says, no, I'm telling you, don't look here. But I don't want... So what I would say is move everything off that you can onto the SD card. If the screenshot folder is a distinct folder, it should not have a .no media in it ever. If it does, yeah, I would look and see what you've installed on both the S3 and the S5. That's got the fact that it happened at the same time indicates to me that the good news is probably not a hardware issue. It's some program that you installed that's not behaving properly. And I really would, for your own benefit, for your own security, really important on Android phones to do the updates. Just like Windows, you know, people running along with Windows and they're not doing the updates. They're vulnerable. Well, it's very similar on Android. In fact, at my last count, Google has patched more than 200 flaws in its media player library, the Stagefright library alone. That thing is full of bugs. And if you don't apply the updates, those flaws remain, and they provide an avenue for bad guys to get into your phone. So do the updates. That may also fix this. Updates often fix problems just like this. And let me keep looking and see if there's a known program that causes these .no media files to proliferate. You don't want those in folders that actually have pictures in them. You want the operating system to scan those folders. 8888 Ask Leo. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I'm off to do my research. You're off to some fine little commercial movies from our sponsors. We just got at home, just, I think it's been a few months now, the Epson ET4550. Oh, I love this printer. So you know I'm an Epson fan. I've had Epson printers since the dot matrix days, the MX-80, the FX-80. Remember that? And then, of course, all the Epson inkjet printers. But now Epson's, they're killing me. They're killing me because they've got the best printer they've ever made. First of all, it's the Precision Core engine. I love this. It's 40 million drops of ink a second. That gives you very crisp black and white printing. It gives you beautiful, vivid colors. It gives you things that only inkjet can do, auto two-sided printing. I have that turned on by default. Saves me a lot of paper. I feel better about that, right, when I print stuff out. It has a sheet feeder, document readers, and all-in-one. Beautiful. But then they took the best printer I've ever used, and they made it even better. No more cartridges. Cartridge-free printing. And when you buy, like this is the one Lisa got, the ET4550, you get all the ink in the box for about 2 years, 50 cartridges worth in the box. This refillable ink tank, the Eco Tank they call it, earned Epson a couple of great awards, CES 2016 Innovations Award. They also got the 2016 Small Biz Windows Printer of the Year because nobody wants, the whole thing about running out of ink. Nobody wants in the middle of a print job. You got to go down to Staples and get a cup, got cartridges or no, 2 years of ink. It's 11,000 black pages, 8,500 color pages. And best of all, when it's time to replace the ink, it comes in bottles. I know because I set it up for Lisa and you just put the ink in the tank. It comes in the bottles. When you get the new replacement bottles in 2 years, in the year 2018, when I have to go to the store, they're 80% less than ink cartridges. So you save even more down the road. I'm telling you, I love this. Wireless printing from tablets and smartphones. Lisa was printing our sales presentation today. Beautiful. The graphs look great. Just gorgeous. All EcoTank printers deliver an unbeatable combination of convenience and value, and you have the freedom to print without running out of ink. Find out more. Epson.com/EcoTank today. EPSON.com/EcoTank. Epson wanted to reach you guys, the early adopters, the influencers, because they knew it was going to be a little bit of a challenge, convincing people, no, the ink's in the box. You don't have to buy the cartridge. This is going to be a little bit of a challenge, but they knew that you guys would get this. You do the math, and you go, I'm going to save money, lots of money, and this is, I don't have to go get cartridges. This is great. Try it. And then, and if you like it, tell your friends. Epson.com/EcoTank. And it's not just the ET4550. There's a whole range up and down the line of EcoTank printers now. It's really, really awesome. Epson, exceed your vision. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888. Ask Leo. That's the phone number if you have a question, a comment, a suggestion. Maybe you know something about .no-media files. That's I had never really seen that before, but it makes sense. There's a penalty for an operating system going through the hard drive all the time looking for things, indexing images, especially images, because it has to make a thumbnail, and that uses up CPU cycles. And on a mobile device like a phone, it's more than that. It's battery, right? There are all sorts of little things that the programmers do to reduce battery consumption, to keep the phone cool, to keep it more reliable, and some of those optimizations could maybe bite you. Shouldn't be generating new no-media files. That's odd, but I'm going to keep looking, see if I can find something. Maybe you know. You can call me. Let's head to Sacramento. That's where Rick is. Hi, Rick. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo. Thanks for taking my call. I'm calling from my friend. He's a longtime Apple user, and his email, he uses Yahoo exclusively, has been compromised, and he tried changing the password, and it sent him back to AT&T, and he didn't want to change that. He has an old SBC Global password, but he doesn't use it. Primarily, he communicates on his mini iPad, and he's just wondering, how can he get rid of this?
How does he know it was compromised? That's the first thing.
Yeah. He got 75 messages from people he doesn't know with default, failures.
Yeah, a lot of bounce back, saying no one's at this address.
Right.
So that happens to all of us. It's kind of a spam scatter. Here's the thing. Spammers don't use their own return address. Guess what? They don't want to get caught. The spammer never has a real return address in the email. All email has return addresses, but they're not going to use their real return address because spam is more about click the link in this email than it is about you reply to the spammer. So in order to cover their tracks, the way they do it, and the spam software does it, a spammer buys a mailing list and then uses specialized software that crawls through the mailing list. And what it does is it picks at random an address in the mailing list and uses it as the reply address and then sends out a million emails with that reply address. Your friend, congratulations, his email address got selected. It doesn't mean, in fact, the fact that he changed the password and it continues confirms it's not been hacked. It's just that the bad guy, the spammer, is using his return address. Unfortunately, there's nothing you can do about that. It's just the way email works. Most of the time, and we all get these, by the way.
Okay.
Most of the time, they move on. Maybe they have a conscience. I don't know. Maybe they don't want to attract attention. If you got a million email bounce back emails, you might complain to the authorities. For whatever reason, they seem to rotate through addresses. So you'll get chunks of them, and then it'll go away. And then it'll come back, and then it'll go away. What I do is I have a filter that says, if I get a bounce back email, because you'll see there's a very kind of standard subject line and things like that. Just use that subject line and say, I don't want to see those. Just put those in the spam box, because that's essentially what it is, bounce back spam.
Okay.
Nothing. In other words, nothing to fear. Now, I have to say, Yahoo, for some reason, Yahoo Mail accounts do apparently get hacked a lot. I don't know what it is about Yahoo Mail.
Mm-hmm.
So I would recommend your friend at some point consider moving to Gmail or some more secure system. But if he's comfortable with Yahoo Mail, the good news
I've told him that I think he needs to delete his email account, that address, and get a new one.
Well,
I wanted to talk to you.
What I don't want him to, he could do that. I mean, the problem is, of course, he's told everybody his address. Everybody has that address. I wouldn't even delete that account. I would create a new one and get people to move to that account. Because you want to kind of have a gradual transition. You can, for instance, if he created a Google Mail account, you can have your Google Mail go out and check, you know, download mail from Yahoo. It has very good filters, so you wouldn't miss any mail. And then from now on, instead of giving out that old Yahoo address, start giving out your Gmail address. However, the good news here is, in all likelihood, at least that symptom you're telling me doesn't mean he's been hacked. In all likelihood, he's not been hacked. That's just what we all get. You'll get it someday, and you'll be, and you'll go, oh yeah, I remember this. It's just annoying. It's worse if you have, you know, there's a guy, I can't remember, was it Joe? I think it's a guy named Joe who early on foolishly signed up for an email address, joe@aol.com. That poor man he can't even use it. Over the years, so much spam, so much junk mail. In general, if you're creating an email account, don't use your name. I did. Big mistake. I can't change it now. I'm stuck with it. Use something nonsensical, and especially if your name is Sam, Joe, Ted, Sally, you know, anything common. Use, you know, horsepucky99 or at gmail.com. Something somewhat random, because it'll help you a lot with spam. Joe@AOL.com, bad choice. That you do not want to be that guy. Now, you may say, well, wait a minute. I'm not going to give out horsepucky99@gmail.com as my email address. And by the way, if that is your email address, I'm sorry. I've just revealed it to the world. But you don't have to do that. That's your secret address. Your secret email. I have a secret email address at a secret destination that I never give out. But what I've done, and I really recommend this, is get a domain name you like that you can remember. I have leolaporte.com, easy to remember, right? And I tell people you can email me at that email address. And then the people I bought it from, and almost any the companies that sell domain names like that are called registrars. Almost any registrar will do this, most of them for free. Tell them, just redirect anything that comes to leolaporte.com. And send that to my secret address at gmail.com. And then, by the way, you can do all sorts of filtering. For instance, I don't look at anything that comes to anything but leo@leolaporte.com, because then I know that was addressed to me, right? There's all sorts of tricks you can play with email that will make it more reliable. One of these days, I should write this up, because it's too long to talk about on the radio. But I have an elaborate strategy. As you might imagine, I get a lot of email. And I get a lot of spam. And I get something we also call bacon, which is spam, but you signed up for it. Newsletters, you know, Amazon emails, things that you probably forgot to uncheck the box. I get a ton of that. So I've come up with ways to make my email more manageable. And I've gotten to the point now where it is very manageable. But it involves things like creating a domain name, having it forward to another email. I always filter everything through Gmail because Google has the best anti-spam. If it gets through Gmail, then I know most of the it's like, I think of it as sewage treatment. It's the first stage treatment. It gets most of the junk out so that I have a much better stream of mail then I can use the filters on to improve even further. We'll tell you someday about that. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Someday I'll tell you my story. It has taken me many years, and it's probably way too complicated. I should just write it up. That is Johnny Jett's theme song, so it must be time to talk travel with the travelest guy around, Johnny Jett. He's at johnnyjett.com, and he joins us each week to tell us how to travel better with tech. Hello, JJ.
Hello, Leo.
You're home, which is nice.
Nice to be back in California, but I've been looking at these deals, and it's actually getting me to itch a little bit. I mean, I'm about to send out a deals newsletter, but you can go L.A. or Miami to Switzerland for $447 round trip on Swiss.
Wow.
Or you go L.A. to Tokyo on Singapore Air for $398 round trip. And this is including taxes and everything.
What?
Round trip. These are insane deals.
What?
So I'm like, I don't know how long I can stay at home for. I got to go away.
Do you get that? Do you get itchy feet?
Without a doubt. And also, especially when I go to the airport to pick someone up, when I'm just looking at these big, wide body planes, I'm like, oh my God, Air Tahiti, Nui, British Airways, a lot of the Asian carriers. I'm like, I sure do.
Yeah, I love to travel. I do. And, I traveled to San Diego last couple of days, and just even a little trip like that is kind of refreshing. You get out of your rut, you know.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
But actually, when you're traveling, I had a post go viral this week, and it's what an ATM skimmer looks like.
Yeah.
It was a video guy made in Austria. It was an American guy who came across this. A skimmer, and I wrote about it a while ago, but then all of a sudden I looked at my Facebook page. I had almost 900 shares. And anyway, when you have time, I just tweeted it to you. So take a look for everyone else. So it gives them a good idea of what a skimmer looks like. I think everyone should look at this, especially while they're traveling.
So you can actually, spot a skimmer. A skimmer is a device that somebody modifies an ATM machine so that when you swipe your card to get money out, it gets your card number.
Right.
They'd still need the passcode, so if a really elaborate one would have also a keypad.
But you always cover your pass, even right. if there's no one around, because there could be a hidden camera, so right. always cover it.
Right.
That is my recommendation. And I always thought the skimmers were inside of the ATM, like, you know, inside the little reader. But this one showed it was a cover on the outside.
It's where this card swiper is. And they just put another one on top of it. Yeah, is this kind of common around the world?
It's getting more and more common. But so the one way to go around it is make sure you go to a reputable bank and do it inside of a bank.
Go in the bank, yeah.
Exactly. Don't go to some random hotel ATM or a 7-Eleven or a gas station. So definitely go into a reputable bank.
And the
bank.
Skimmer that he's showing in this particular video, and again, go to johnnyjet.com to get it, is kind of clever because it's you pass your card through it, and then it reads – the regular card reader reads it too. So the ATM still operates normally, but right. he's collecting cards as the ATM. So you wouldn't even know that you got bit by a skimmer.
Right. And there was a camera that he didn't really talk about in that video. He mentioned it.
There is a camera to watch your key presses, huh?
He mentioned it in the text, but not in the video.
So what you should do is cover, like hold your hand over the keypad when you're entering the key.
For sure.
Yeah. Good
That's
to know.
What I always do.
Good to know. Yeah.
All right. So I got a website and an app for you.
All right. Fire when ready.
All right, the Olympics. So last night I was all pumped up to watch the Olympics. I thought NBC did a terrible job with all the commercials.
What's new? They do it every 4 years.
I know, 2 years, and it kills me.
Yeah,
I keep forgetting about it. I had to turn it off after 30 minutes. But
well, this one was particularly interesting because in the past, when it's in Sochi or it's Beijing, they could claim, oh, it's the time zone. But right. this time, it's Eastern time.
An hour ahead.
Yeah. So, but they have to edit it to put in the commercials.
But not only the time delay, the worst part, not only was it not live, it was because so many commercials literally felt like every 3 minutes.
I TiVo'd it, and TiVo, don't tell anybody, has this little green button you push when the commercials come on. It goes bloop. It goes right past them.
That's what I
don't
need
to get. Do that to the radio show. Okay, go on. That's a public service message from your local spot stations. Yes.
One thing that NBC does do a good job with, I think, is NBCOlympics.com/live. So you can live stream any of the events that are going on live.
Oh.
They give you for U.S. based, at least. I'm not sure. I haven't done it outside the U.S. But you get 30 minutes free.
Well, every country has a official network, so it would not work outside the U.S. Right?
That's what I figured.
Yeah. yeah.
But if you had a VPN, you could most likely.
Yeah. Or you know what? In many cases, it was going the other way. I remember during the Sochi Olympics, people were passing out ways to go to some network outside the U.S. that was streaming it live. Yeah. So it can go the other way too. Yeah.
Because Canada, they usually do it live.
Canada always does a good job. Yeah.
Yep. So sometimes I'm there and I get to watch it live. But anyway, you can stream here, and after 30 minutes, you can put in whatever your cable provider is, log in, and then it will work.
What's the website again?
NBCOlympics.com/live. So they do a pretty good job for Americans.
Nice.
I mean, that's your only choice, I believe. But and going with the Olympic theme, since we're there, there's an app called SafeTure, S-A-F-E-T-U-R-E. So this one's really for anyone who's going to Rio. I actually thought it was free. They give you a free trial, but then I just logged on just right before I mentioned it, and I now see that my trial ended, and it's $3.99 for 2 weeks or $21.99 for a year. But what's cool about this is it gives you real-time notifications, SMSs of any incidents that are going on. So if you're worried about your safety, it tells you where to stay away from, if there's any big traffic jams. So it actually does it all around the world, but the one for California was not that good, but for Rio, it looked pretty good. And it's on iOS and Android. And they said the first 10,000 people download it for free, but I guess I was after 10,000. I thought I was in there.
But a year for $22. If you travel a lot, this would be worth it. In fact, I'll probably just buy the $5 for 1 month when we go to our Baltic cruise next month. Because it'd be good to know if anything's going down in St. Petersburg. We could stay on the boat.
Sure,
but tell the captain, let's get the heck out of here.
They will get the heck out of there.
Oh, I know.
But we did talk about the UK. I mentioned that one time, and I know you subscribe to it. And
I do.
Once in a while, you get 100 update
from the British government. They send out emails about unrest and issues and disease and whatever, what have you.
And that is free. So I highly recommend people signing up for that. I will look at my past story and I'll tweet it out.
I don't like to live in fear. I'm going to just go. It's dangerous wherever you are. I could get run over by a bus tomorrow right here.
Not a doubt, but it's always good to know if there's any incidents going on to stay away from that area.
Nah. I'm just going right in.
Oh, and that's another tip. So if you ever see any, you know, big gatherings or protests,
don't head towards it unless it's Pokemon Go. Then it's a different story, right? That's okay.
Stay away from them,
Pokemon Go. I was going down Orange Avenue in Coronado, and it's like Woodstock. There's so many people playing Pokemon Go on the Meridian there on the divider. It's like you can't move.
Do you play Pokemon?
Well, who doesn't?
Well, I did for, 10 minutes, but couldn't get sucked into
It's occupied my imagination even longer.
Has it? Okay.
Yes. I'm Team Red Valor, in case anybody's curious. Level 21. Valor! And I waded right into that crowd. That was a safe crowd. That's a safe bunch of people to be. Worst thing that can happen, somebody could bean you with their finger while they're trying to swipe away a Pokemon. Johnny Jett, he's at johnnyjett.com. Follow him on the Twitter and Instagram, too. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Vala! This is good. I will actually probably download this, although I don't want to know. Then we wouldn't get off the boat. We'd just stay in the boat the whole time. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888. Ask Leo. That's the phone number. Bruce is on the line from Billings, Montana. Hello, Bruce.
Hello, Leo. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, so my question has to do with our daughter and her husband who run a high net worth multi-level marketing business, primarily on the internet. And I'm wondering if they should subscribe to and use a VPN.
So, first of all, are they running their business on the internet?
Yes.
Okay, so the very first thing they should do, and they probably are already doing this, is run a secure site. Everybody should be running a secure site at this point. HTTPS. It's not a difficult thing to do. Whoever's running their site for them can explain. There's some cost to it, a few $100 a year at most. Usually it's less. There's even a free way to do this now with Let's Encrypt. But that will protect people visiting their site from man-in-the-middle attacks, spying, that kind of thing. So that's the first thing they should do, and they're doing that for their customers. They may already be doing that, but that's the first thing I'd say. Now, if they're worried about people spying on what they do or picking up information as they visit coffee shops or hotels or cruise ships, if they use public Wi-Fi, then a VPN would be helpful. But the transactions to their website, if they are secured, HTTPS for secure, would not be vulnerable. Only visits to sites that are not secure would be vulnerable. And that's one of the reasons experts now say everybody should just run a secure site. Our podcast site is secure, but the Tech Guy Labs is not. If you go to techguylabs.com, it's http://, and we just haven't gotten around to – that doesn't mean, by the way, there's any risk because we don't have a login. We're not transacting, you know, information or money or anything like that. But it sounds like that their site could be, in which case they've got to make sure it's secure. That's the first thing they need to do.
And is there a service that they would subscribe to?
Do they? Who runs their site? Do they have somebody running their site?
They run it through the parent company, I think.
Okay. So that's, you know, I would, if it's a good multi-level marketing company, any company that's doing commerce on the net ought to be HTTPS. You wouldn't go to Amazon.com if you didn't see that S in the padlock or the green bar. Actually, Amazon gives you a green bar. That means they're extended SSL certificate, and that means you're even more safe. They've not only validated that this transaction is secure, but that you're actually at a site run by Amazon out of Seattle, Washington, USA. Extended certs are even better, and that's when you get a green bar or a green HTTPS on your address bar. That's what their site should be doing. If the company that runs the MLM business is not doing that, they need to talk to them and say, do that or play a recording of this, because they are, if that is doing a disservice to their customers. I presume their customers are ordering products on the site. They're doing e-commerce. They may be doing some e-commerce with the parent company there. All of that needs to be protected. And so it's up to the website to do that first and foremost. And at that point, they can then decide if they want to use a VPN for other reasons. VPN stands for Virtual Private Network. And it's used for two reasons, really. What happens when you use a VPN is you connect to a server. That server could be in your home, but more likely it's run by a company that provides this as a service. I've mentioned in the past Hotspot VPN and Tunnel Bear. There are many VPN services out there. The way it works is you run some software on your computer that connects your computer to the server, and that server can be anywhere in the world. And I'll tell you, that's the second benefit, and I'll tell you why that's a benefit. But you connect to that server, and all of the data being sent from your computer to, let's say, Tunnel Bear's computer is encrypted, is scrambled so that nobody can see it, nobody can break into it. That means if you're on an open Wi-Fi hotspot, you're at a hotel, you're on a cruise ship, you're using internet access that other people are using, no one can get into it. It is secure, right up to the point that it leaves Tunnel Bear or the VPN's servers. At that point, and this is just the way the net works, it has to become unencrypted because you're connecting to a website and the website doesn't know about your VPN. So the primary advantage is securing your privacy from people who are in your immediate vicinity, whether it's your internet service provider or somebody sitting next to you in a coffee shop. The secondary benefit is when you do emerge on the internet, you can emerge somewhere outside the United States. People sometimes use that to bypass geographic restrictions. BBC, for instance, restricts its BBC iPlayer to people who pay BBC television license fees. Rightly so, they've paid for it. But people say, but no, I want to watch my Doctor Who the day it comes out. So they use VPNs to pretend they're originating in Great Britain. This is a little sketch ethically. You'll have to be the judge. It's your ethics. But that's the second reason people use VPNs. This is kind of like what happens if you pre-negotiate with a website like Amazon. If you have a pre-negotiated encryption certificate, you don't have to worry, because if I connect to Amazon or Google Mail is another good example from my computer, even if I'm on an open Wi-Fi access point at a Starbucks, we've already prearranged to have encrypted conversations so nobody can see it. That's the HTTPS I was talking about. And the prearrangement is actually occurring kind of behind the scenes. You don't have to literally say, hey, Amazon, I want to get online. What's the password? Amazon arranges with a certificate authority to have a encryption certificate. Your browser has information about the various certificate authorities. It verifies that that certificate is correct, that it actually is Amazon, and then exchanges a key so that there's encrypted conversations and only you and Amazon can read it. That's really the best way, and that's what your MLM company should absolutely be doing. If they're not doing it, you got to talk them into it. Otherwise, they're risking all sorts of things. You know, there is a higher responsibility now on websites, public websites. We keep hearing time and time again about people breaking in, getting other people's, getting your passwords, getting critical credit card information. It happens every day. A company that has your private information, that has your credit card numbers, that has your home address, they have a higher responsibility to protect that. And number one, they should be running SSL. There are lots of other things they should be doing behind the scenes. But number one, they should have secure connections over HTTP. That's very important. Google's really pushing for that everywhere. And there are a number of initiatives called HTTPS everywhere. Google says, for instance, if you will rank you more highly if your site is HTTPS. We'll actually rank you higher in the search results. That's a pretty good incentive. So should they use VPN? It depends, but probably anytime they're in public. But more importantly, their website needs to be secure as well. That's really important. Pamela, Studio City, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Pamela.
Hi. I talked to you last year when Kraftwerk was in town.
I missed them, you know. We weren't really up to go, and I'm sad because I love that band.
I know. You should play some Tangerine Dream or Cavalier.
I love them, too. Oh. You're an old hippie, aren't you?
No, I'm not that old.
You're a young hippie.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I love that. I love that music. I grew up with that music. What can I do for you?
My question is this. Okay. The night before my warranty went up on my Galaxy S5 or 5S, whatever, the screen went blank, froze completely. They were kind enough to send me a new phone.
Nice. You just made it under the wire. Good job.
No battery.
The phone didn't have a battery in it?
No. So this issue I've been having...
You can buy more batteries, but that's a little annoying.
No, you cannot. They've apparently stopped making them five, and now I was told the warehouse doesn't have any batteries, the store doesn't have any batteries, S6 and S7 don't have batteries.
That's they do. Cool. They're just not removable. But your S5...
on Amazon or Best Buy.
Yeah, go... first of all, you can go to lots of places. eBay, for instance. There are people making batteries. You don't have to buy Samsung. Just get it from a reputable company. And
right, but my question is, do you think I should just, you know...
Hold on. We got to take a break. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. And send a battery. Hold on. So, what would you like to get a different phone? Is that what you're thinking, Pamela?
Yeah, I'm up due for an upgrade. So,
there you go.
Wondering, should I get the 6 or the 7?
The 7 is the current one.
Yeah.
The S7, and it's fantastic. Much better.
You know what? I'm a photographer, or there used to be. Now any homespun can be a photographer. So
you're a real photographer.
Yeah.
If you make money doing it, you're a real photographer.
Right. And I'm an artist too. But now I'm, like I said, any homespun can be a real photographer.
I guess so.
Smartphone.
Yeah, it's true. You will be, if you like taking pictures, and of course it's not as good as your DSLR, but the camera in the Galaxy S7 is remarkable.
Right, but you know what? I also have had that problem that a few callers back with no pictures all of a sudden.
I don't think you'll have that problem with an S7. I've never seen that issue come up. You might also look at the Galaxy Note 7, which just came out.
Yeah, but I already have two tablets.
Oh, it's pretty big, but it's not huge compared to the S7 is 5.2 inches, I think, and this is 5.5 inches. It's not that much bigger. The biggest difference is the stylus.
9-inch tablet.
That's fine. I mean, the biggest difference is the S7 has a tablet, or the Note 7.
It's a stylus, right?
Stylus, I mean, yeah. But the S7 is fantastic. I love that phone. It's definitely the best phone of the year.
It's worth, you think, spending another...
Well, you're going to spend money buying this battery.
Well, you know, and looking for a battery or whatever for $5 or $10, you know, I could go through the same issue again in 6 months.
It's so weird they didn't put a battery in it.
Yeah, isn't that,
maybe they expected you to take the battery out of your old one.
That's exactly what they did when they wiped the old phone.
Nuts. Well, the nice thing... I guess nice. I don't know if it's nice. The thing about the newer phones is none of them have removable batteries.
Right.
I liked that because you could buy a second battery, and if you ran low, instead of having to find a charger, you just pop the second battery in. But nobody does it anymore anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Right. It's not like the big flip phone.
Yeah. I mean, the good news. Yeah, right. Remember you used to do that with a flip phone. Yeah. The good news is that these are sealed, so they'll definitely come with a battery. I think the S.
Shocked to get a new phone with no battery. And
yeah, that's just strange. Strange.
Yeah. So
you can find a battery for it if you really want to keep it going. There are lots of places to get batteries for.
Yeah, but it's just I've had the phone for
like you want a new phone.
And I keep updating it, and I can't get any connectivity.
Yeah,
and
get a new phone.
Studio City. It's already
a new phone. I think you'll love the S7.
So go for it.
Yeah.
I'm due for an upgrade.
To get the upgrade. Yeah, the S8 won't be out till next year.
Oh, please. I'm not even starting.
It will.
Those, 10.5 things. I know there'll be glitches in the 8, and they'll suddenly come out with, an 11 or something.
Yeah. Well, you will be getting Android 6, and Android 7 is coming out this month, but I don't think you should worry about that.
No,
I like the S7. I think that's my favorite phone of the year.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, because I was happy with it, up until 6 months ago in Consumer Reports, underneath Apple, the S5 was considered one of the best.
Yeah, I wasn't crazy. Be honest, I wasn't crazy about the S5. It was, and I'm not alone. It was kind of a disappointment to Samsung, and they listened to people. And I think with the S6, they made massive improvements. And now the S7's better yet. And man, since you like pictures, I know it's not a great, it's not your real camera, but it's really nice to have that in your pocket and be able to take really excellent images.
All right, I'll do that today then.
Good.
Thank you.
Enjoy.
Take care.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Yep, another one sold. I'll be getting that check from Samsung any day now. You know that's not true, right? Yeah. No, in fact, I send them checks. A lot of them. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography, smartphones, smartwatches, and all that jazz. 8888-ASK. Leo, that's the phone number, 888-827-5536, toll free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada. Give us a ring. Give us a jingle. Let us help you with your tech problems, your woes. Don't forget the website, techguylabs.com. That's where we put all the good stuff. It's free. No sign-up necessary. Audio and video from the shows, answers to questions. Your comments, too, very important. Let's see. Let's go back to Montana. What do you say? Jim's in Missoula, Montana. Hello, Jim.
Hi, Leo. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure. What can I do for you?
I run a small accounting office that run machines on Vista 8.1 and Windows 10. And just a few days ago on Thursday, the keyboards on 7 of the computers running 8.1 just stopped working simultaneously.
What?
And I went to Windows 7, the machine that was working, and Googled it up and found a fix on it where I needed to change the settings on the filter keys and to turn off the ignore brief or repeated keystrokes. And I'm just curious, and it fixed it, but I'm curious as to why would that happen simultaneously on these computers?
They must have all, did they all get updated at the same time?
That's the only thing I can think of. But
yeah.
three of them did not. Three of them were not affected. But the six of them, I was in a meeting when I came out. I had half a dozen accountants not working because the keys. Because
all of them, and these were the keyboards that came with the computers.
That's correct.
Yeah, were they? What kind of Dells? What kind of computers were they?
HPs primarily.
HPs. And the one that didn't go wrong, was there anything unusual about it?
No, that was a that was a Toshiba. So that one didn't affect.
It was a different brand. The rest were all HP?
Yes.
Ah. So one thing HP does, you usually know when you get a Windows update because the machine will say, I've got an update. Sometimes you'll have to restart. Sometimes you'll say, I'd like to schedule a restart in the middle of the night. Do you have an IT department running these computers or is it all you?
It's on
you. All right.
Yeah.
So you probably know that. And then usually after an update, Windows will do a little pop-up in the corner that says, we've updated. HP has a little bit of a little software on there that does other updates behind the scenes. So the fact that those are all HP tells me HP pushed something out.
Okay.
HP, you can even find it. It's a little program that's running in the background. You'll see it if you run a Process Explorer or a Task Manager, and it's always running. And thank you, HP. Thank you for breaking 9 keyboards all at the same time, because that's what happened almost certainly. And the fact that the Toshiba didn't break that confirms it, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah, yeah. But so in a Windows update, you would have seen. You would have known. So the fact that
I know, but that's right because you have to approve it to.
Yeah. But HP doesn't. HP has, they have a little thing in there that just runs all the time. Actually, most of the, what we call OEM systems, have updaters that are designed for that company to update drivers and things like that.
Right, but it didn't affect the Windows, it got a couple of Windows 10 machines that are running HP.
Interesting.
And it didn't do those.
Yeah. So you can, if you want, turn off HP updates so that these don't happen again.
An idea.
Yeah, Windows, just hit the Windows Q key and then type HP update and you'll run it. It's a hidden program that'll run all of a sudden and you could turn them off. Might be a good idea. If you're the IT tip, the reason I asked if you had an IT department is typically if there is an IT department, they don't let machines update for this very reason. They don't even let Windows updates to run. What they want to do is they want to test every update. In a big company, this is what'll happen. That they'll test every update before they roll it out to the individual machines. So updates are always turned off.
And then just used on, and then tested with one machine.
Test them with one machine. So maybe if you've got one of those HPs as an extra, or you could have a guinea pig HP and leave the updates on there, turn it off elsewhere. Next time a keyboard dies, you'll know. you'll know why. And that's exactly why IT departments do it. They've learned from hard experience that sometimes updates break things. It's not intentional, but sometimes they do.
Sure.
And so what we'd like to do is find out in the IT department before we have 9 accountants screaming at us.
Okay.
Yeah. And you're smart. You figured it out. I mean, I'm impressed, Jim, that you were able to figure it out. It's a weird fix, isn't it?
It is a weird fix.
Yeah. And obviously, HP will probably push another update if they haven't already. That will be the oopsie update. Because if it happened to 9 of your computers, I bet it happened to a lot more than that.
Yeah, yeah.
There'll be a little oopsie update coming out any day now.
Okay. Well,
all right.
Thank you very much, sir.
Yeah, turn off updates. And, you know, if you have the time, and this is the problem, is a lot of businesses don't have the time or money to have an IT department. It's only if you have hundreds of seats. You know, our little business here, and this I do recommend, we have about 25 seats, right? We have a contract IT guy, and you always hear me talking about Russell because I bow down to Russell. I am not worthy. He's the guy, and if something doesn't work, it's his responsibility. And so the machines that are mission critical in my business, and that's the editor's machines, the ones that take the audio and the video and they edit it, that's the one we don't want to go down. Those are running Windows. They haven't even updated. I think they're Windows 8.0. We haven't even updated past that. And we will only update it when Russell says to update it. We're not running a Windows 10 because once you have a system that's working and reliable, you don't mess with it. Now, the advice for an individual user at home is very different. So I don't want you. The only reason we can do that is because there is somebody at the business whose dedicated job is keeping on track, on top of all these things. And among other things, what one of the things we run and most good businesses run is elaborate security devices, firewalls times 10 that protect these computers from the outside world. So I couldn't get a virus if I tried, because all my internet traffic in our office has to go through these big Sophos Astaro routers that are scanning for all sorts of problems. So it's a whole system. You can't just at home say, you know what, I don't want to lose my keyboard, I better not run updates. No, because you'll lose a lot more than your keyboard. You need to apply those updates. It's a little different. And frankly, this is one of the reasons I'm not crazy about people running Windows at home, because Windows in general is designed for companies that have IT departments that can manage the systems appropriately and keep an eye out for things like this. HP, like a lot of companies, tries to make it easy for the end user. No worry. Don't worry. We'll handle it. We'll apply these updates. We won't even bother you. We'll just do it. No, don't worry. It's going to be kept up to date. And as long as everything works fine, that's fine. In this case, the keyboard stopped working all of a sudden. My recommendation for a home user, don't get Windows. You won't have this problem. If you have to use Windows, congratulations. You are your IT department. And you are going to be the one responsible for making sure that you do updates, that you do protect your systems, you do lock them down, you learn about security. And you learn how to fix things when something goes wrong. Updates, it's not unusual for an update to break something. And that's why we have IT departments. It's why I tell people you're better off using an iPad, using a Chromebook. They're less expensive. You don't have to worry about these kinds of things at all. 8888, Ask Leo. That's wild that HP would push out something that breaks 9 machines. You'd think they'd catch that, wouldn't they? In their testing. Hey, Joe, we just pushed an update. None of the keyboards work. I don't understand what could possibly have gone wrong here. Well, pull it back. I can't. I don't know how. Well, what? Why did you? What? Did you not?
No, I never use a keyboard. I just look at the thing. That's all. I wouldn't have noticed that.
And unbelievable.
We didn't try the keyboards. Who knew? Keyboard? What do you need a keyboard for? You got a mouse.
I wonder if I have any more Note 4s. This is the Note 5. This, I found out, is the Note 4. And this is the Note 1. I'm missing my Note 2 and 3. I think I gave my mom my Note 3. I don't know where the Note... And, you know, I was saying, oh, people, you know, are used to this size. This is the Note, the most recent Note. The new one's coming out in a couple of weeks. It doesn't look big anymore. But you know what? This is the one people laughed at. The Note 1, even though it wasn't a bigger screen, just does look bigger. Because it's kind of wider. I guess the bezels are bigger. Yeah, the bezels are... It just... Doesn't it look... It's not a bigger screen, but it feels like it's a lot bigger. It's kind of chunky monkey. But man, I love that. And there's the original stylus. Oh, here it is. Just looking for my Galaxy Note collection. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I almost have a complete set. This is better than Pokemon. So the Galaxy Note 7 was announced this week and will come out in a couple of weeks at all the major U.S. carriers. 850 smackers. But it's a flagship phone, you know, 5.5 inches, beautiful screen. This one's going to have not only a fingerprint reader, but an iris scanner for unlocking and identification. The Notes are famous, of course, for the stylus. And it used to be we're famous for the size, which is funny because they're now just normal size. 5.5 inches, it's pretty normal. But I was a fan of the Note way back when they were just giant. When people said, what is that, a phone? That's great. We called them phablets because they were phone tablets. Now it's just a phone. It's not a phablet. It's just a phone. Thank goodness, because that was a terrible name. But I'm just looking. Now, this is the – I'm looking, and I know it's the radio, so you just have to imagine. I'm holding these up to the microphone here. That's the Note 1. My Note 2 is missing, and I'm thinking I might have given it to my mom. This is a Note 3. Here's a Note 4. Here's a Note 5. So all if I just – I'm missing my Note 2. Don't send me a Note 2. Sometimes people think I'm a – you know, they go through their closets. Oh, Leo will love this. I get periodically boxes, unannounced, of old junk. Don't send me your – I've got to clean out my closet. We're moving the studios. I'll send you some junk. How about that? But I maybe I'll keep these notes because this is kind of historic, right? I got all but one, and I ordered the Note 7. All of these are in basic black. Now the Note comes in silver, coral blue, and black. And the black one is really black because they not only are the front and the back shiny black, but they've even anodized the little aluminum strip that goes all the way around, so that's black. So it's a stealth phone. Looks to be good. I'll give you a review when I get it in a couple of weeks. Well, give me a week to review it, and then I'll give you a review. 8888 Ask Leo. Let's get back to the phones and Bob in Burbank. Hello, Bob in Burbank.
Hi. My question about was audio level and streaming.
Yeah.
We listened in the office on Saturday. We stream shows because it's slow. So we listened to another show before yours.
Nice.
And then go to your show, it's changed the channels. It's, yours is very quiet.
Well, I don't talk so loud. I'm not like that Rush Limbaugh guy. I'm not always shouting.
We go to another show, and
it's all over the place.
We have to bring the level down.
Yeah, broadcasters
standard and like.
Yeah, no, there's not. Yeah, so there is in broadcast, obviously, but you're listening on the internet.
It's like cable used to be when you go to shows.
Yeah, yeah,
and they fixed it.
And I apologize. I didn't realize we were quiet. Where do you listen to our stream from?
Let me look.
There's lots of places you can get.
I think.
Ustream?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you go to our website and then you start playing Ustream. We have an audio only version on that same page that should be better. We don't fully control the chain. So what we do, of course, is we make the show and presumably, I'm hoping, we're recording it at a nominal level because we, you know, the right level because we're sending it out to radio stations and they expect it to be a certain level. And then the audio and video we send through encoders that squish it and send it to the various providers. And we don't really control what Ustream or Twitch.tv or BitGravity or the other providers do. The audio stream we control that entirely. So tell me if the audio stream, if you listen on the website to just the audio stream, if that's significantly lower, and I will fix that.
Okay.
And then then I will make sure the engineers check to make sure we're sending Ustream proper level, but it may be in there because they re-encode it and they send it out from their servers. They may be changing the level. I don't know. But you're right. There is no standard, and I apologize for being quiet.
So is there an organization of
no.
media people?
So, no. Podcasters are, we're a rebel breed. We're the Wild West.
So there's no Motion Picture Association with their NASA standard?
No, there really ought to be. Oughtn't there? that's a good point. No, there's no people who put I don't like to use the word podcast because it doesn't really fully describe what this is. People who put audio and video content on the internet
have no standards.
Have no standards, as you probably notice. but there should be. Now, I mean, we use meters here. I have the world famous Doro, Mike Doro, the great radio engineer, makes a meter that's the kind of the standard in broadcast.
He is a great guy. He's a friend.
Oh, well, you know. Well. Now I know why you're asking. So we are Doro Zero, but that doesn't mean that's going to be all the way once you get it on your internet. And who knows
once it left your place.
Yeah, who knows what happens when it. YouTube is kind of the same way. When you listen to YouTube videos, sometimes they're very, very quiet. Sometimes they're very, very loud. Are you a radio engineer?
No, post-production.
Post-production. Oh, well, you know a little bit about this then. I mean, I am looking at a Dorometer. We know what our levels are. And if I do not keep my levels appropriate, because I am running my own mixer here, John, my studio manager, will run in and shake his finger at me and he'll grab the pot and turn it up, the fader, and turn it up. We use good equipment, too. Since you're an engineer, you're probably familiar with Telos, the Axia stuff. We use all digital Axia stuff. It goes through Telos's Omnia processing. The Omnia is designed to get it to zero. Boom.
Yep.
And so I know we're sending out zero, but who knows what happens after that. It is the Wild West. I'm glad you listened. So you're listening in a post-production house?
Yes.
Very nice. You want to give yourself a plug, or is it stealth?
Stealth right now.
Yeah, good. Working on a good movie?
Yep.
Now it really is stealth. Can't tell us a thing, can you?
No.
Oh, that's fun. Well, I appreciate the work you do because don't we all love films? Don't we all love the creations coming out of Hollywood, you know? We live in wonderful times where the stories that we can watch on our screens, big or little, are just fantastic. There's such variety. Not everything's great.
70 minus 20 FS.
I am going to talk to my engineers right now. You got that, John? 70 minus 20 FS. He just saluted me.
DBFS. Okay.
Actually, Alex, who's in charge of it, we call him the Flow Master. He's in charge of all the streams. He's going to look into that right now.
Super.
Do we have a standard?
Video guy, not the audio.
He says he's the video guy, not the audio guy. Oh, dear. Now I have a problem. Nice to talk to you, Bob. Keep up the good work.
Okay, thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Yeah. Oh, look. See, I have a piece of paper here. What is this? Russell printed this out. This is where everything, these are like meters, VU, UK, PPM, EBU, PPM. So these are the standards for levels.
Which one do we pick?
Which one do we pick? Probably Nordic. Let's do the Nordic today. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. We're going to do the Nordic PPM. Leo Laporte, the tech guy at exactly zero VU. Pinned right there. I'm sorry, Bob. We just don't know what we're doing. But when you listen on the radio, that's what, you know, I have a lot of respect for the people who, radio engineers are really impressive. They make sure they keep, you know, they're doing it. And the problem is we're just amateurs. We're just kind of hanging out on this internet thing. One of these days. At least we don't play the commercials louder, right? It's all at the same. Didn't they used to do that? 8888 Ask Leo. That's the phone number. We're talking high tech. So glad you're here today. Mike's in Huntington Beach. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Leo. I have one issue that I want to talk to you about. It has to do with RAM. The second one, I'm in the automotive industry, and I thought, if you'd like, I'd like to give you some history on the car's navigation system.
Okay. Let me answer your question first.
The first thing is, I built my own system, and I have 8 gigabytes of RAM. I have 2 500 gig SSD drives, and I have a NVIDIA video card. Yeah. And what's happening is, whenever I go to close Fallout 4, it locks up. It doesn't close. The screen goes black. And I'm thinking that for somehow my system isn't dumping the RAM when I close the program.
So Control-Alt-4 or Alt-F4 is to close a program. You're not talking about closing Windows, shutting down. You're talking about just closing a program.
Just closing your program.
And when you close the program, it's a black hole where the program was?
Yes, it just turns, the screen turns black and just hangs up. And the only way to resolve it is to do a cold boot of the computer.
Wow. And this is why when you build your own computer, and the good news is it's all on you, my friend. You got to figure it out. And you got to know whether there's a problem with the RAM or the hard drive or the motherboard or the video card drivers or the computer itself. I would suspect your video card and or more likely video card drivers. Certainly the first thing you should do is make sure you've got up-to-date video card drivers.
Yeah, I did run the Microsoft memory diagnostics, and it said there was no problem.
Yeah. Doesn't sound like a memory problem. It sounds like a video problem. But, the screen's not redrawing. It might just be a bad install of Windows, too. I mean, the other way to try that is, and I wish you could do this with Windows. You know, Linux gives you something called a live CD, where or a live memory key, where you can just boot it up, and instead of running the operating system that's on your hard drive, you run a clean version of the operating system from the CD or the DVD or the USB key. It's a little slower, obviously, because it's not as fast as a hard drive, but it's a great diagnostic tool because you can see if the same thing happens. You might try that. Download Ubuntu, put it on a USB key, and then boot to the USB key and run Ubuntu. See if when you close a program, there's still a hole on the screen. If there is, then we know it's a hardware problem, right? If there isn't, then we know it's a software problem, and that's a great diagnostic to do. Now we know it's either Windows or the video card driver or something like that that's causing this problem. I've never seen anything like this. It's a little strange. What video? You said an NVIDIA card. Which NVIDIA card are you using?
I have right. Windows system up there.
So there's when you get an NVIDIA card, there's three different places you can get drivers for it. The card, NVIDIA, the company, doesn't actually make anything but reference cards. They license the design to other companies. So figure out who made your card. You can get a driver from NVIDIA. That's the so-called reference driver. You can get a driver from the company that made the card. EVG or a lot of companies make NVIDIA cards. They have drivers. And Microsoft has certified drivers. Try different drivers. But first thing I would do is boot up to... I wish Windows would do a live CD that you could just boot up and run Windows off of a USB key, because it'd be the easiest way to see, well, you know, is this a physical problem with the hardware? If it is, then it doesn't matter which operating system you're running, because it will happen again. If it doesn't happen, we know it's software. And then, frankly, that's a lot easier. The other thing to do, and this is good, thank you, Dr. Mom, is reboot the machine into safe mode. Sometimes it depends. Sometimes you press and hold the shift key when you reboot, or F8. Reboot into safe mode. Safe mode with networking, usually. And see if that's okay, because that eliminates the drivers. It uses a basic driver. If you can close a program without that black hole, it is definitely a driver issue. So I guess that's kind of Windows' way of running a live CD. Just do a safe boot. 8888 Ask Leo. If you got a suggestion, you can also go to our website, techguylabs.com, and add your comments. This is episode, it's all by episode, episode 1311. And this is hour number 3. You can go in there and add your comments. On we go with the show. And Tyler is in Lake Forest, California. Hi, Tyler.
Hey, how's it going, Leo?
It's going great. How are you?
I'm doing well.
What can I do for you?
So I do a lot of social media stuff, YouTube, Twitch.tv live streaming, and Vine.
Neat.
And recently I was a victim of DDoS.
So you're putting yourself out there, which is awesome, but when you put yourself out there in the public, there's a tiny fraction, 1 in 10,000, 1 in 100,000, that are just jerky jerks.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what they do. And when you're on Twitch.tv, the jerky jerks, are you playing a game? What do you do on Twitch.tv?
I do multiple things. I'll draw, I'll just talk to my viewers, I'll play games.
And most of your viewers are great.
Yeah, of course.
They tip you, they interact with you, they love you. And then there's always one little guy, we call them trolls, because we think of them as like in the basement, who're just angry with life, angry with everything. I'll show him. How dare he have fun on the internet? And they attack you. And unfortunately, these kinds of attacks are easy. They're not technically difficult. You just have to be motivated to be a jerky jerk. So he's able to DDoS your Twitch channel?
Yeah, and I'm not exactly sure how they found my IP address.
They're attacking you. I get it. Hey, hang on, because I'd like to talk a little more about this. We have to take a break.
Sure, of course.
Commercial DDoS time. But hang in there, and we'll talk some more. Also, the GizWiz coming up with our Gadget of the Week. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Watch out for the jerky jerks. So they're going after you directly, it sounds like, because they're attacking your home that you're – because you can't bring down Twitch, right?
No.
I mean, yeah, you could, but you would have to have massive resources. So they're going after your home IP.
The guy that did it, actually, I reported him because he typed in the chat he copy-pasted my IP address into the chat.
Oh, he doxed you as well. Yeah, that's another thing they like to do.
Yeah,
so you're streaming from your home computer. That's the upload to Twitch. He can't attack you at Twitch. Twitch is Amazon Web Services. They'd have to bring Amazon down. That's how we host our site for the same reason. Yeah. But he can block your IP address if he knows your home IP address. So one way to change that is to call your ISP and say, give me a new address.
Well, I've actually done that. I called in because I have Cox, and I called in and I asked him, hey, can you guys, reset my IP or change it? And they were kind of, they weren't too enthusiastic about it. They were like, well, in that sense, there's not much we can do for you other than, attempt to change your IP. And I was like, well, okay. And, I did some research, and I actually ended up purchasing VPN program. And
there you go. They can't attack you then because they don't know where you're coming from. You're in an encrypted tunnel.
Yeah, so last night was the first time that I had live-streamed since it happened, and I reset my IP beforehand, and no one took it down, so I just wanted to obviously ask you if there were any other countermeasures for that kind of thing, and we can talk about it more.
I'll talk now. Let's talk now. This is good as any. So there are routers that supposedly will have that ability. Your ISP should care more because it's attacking them as well. And
They didn't seem like they were really interested in it. I told them, I said,
you may be violating terms of service by streaming. Sometimes ISPs don't want you to do that. I don't know what Cox is. You should look at the terms of service. They may... and the other question, and I think this is your question as well, is how did the guy find out your IP address?
Yeah, that's what I'd like to know too.
There are ways to do that. If you go into chat rooms, for instance, your IP address is seen and logged. And usually, though, it's hard to get somebody's IP address unless you have a closer relationship with them in some real way.
Yeah, and I used Skype for a long time, and I stopped using that recently. I've heard that people are able to get your IP through Skype.
That's right. True? Yeah, that is true.
Is there any way? Should I like?
So he may have Skyped you and
Skype account.
Yeah, don't let him. Okay. Don't, because he may be Skyping. Maybe you're Skyping. You know this guy. In other words, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, most likely.
Yeah. So, and that's how he knows, because he has a closer relationship with you than just some stranger off the street.
Yeah.
And if you serve a website from your house, there's all sorts of ways that people could find your IP address. But yes, Skype would be a good one. But you can't. Somebody's saying if you change your MAC address on your router, spoof it, it will you'll get a new IP address from Cox. I don't know if that's the case. Some routers do have, so claim to have DOS protection. I don't know how good those are. That sucks.
That really sucks. I figured it was bound to happen. I'm doing a lot of social media stuff. I'm getting more noticed.
The more public you are, the more you'll get trolled. And the more successful you are, the more you're going to get trolled. You just be glad nobody swatted you.
Oh, I know. That's one of my biggest fears.
We've been swatted.
I've got dogs in the house.
Swatted. It's terrible. You don't want to be
swatted?
Oh, yeah. We're just like you. We're out there in the public. Hey, I got to run. Somebody in the chat room saying, friends come and friends go, but an enemy is for life. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. It's true, right? that's Dick DiBartolo. He's Mad Magazine's maddest writer and my friend for life, I hope.
I was just going to say, you beat me to it. Yeah. You beat me to it. Yeah. I am your friend for life. Yeah, well, so just remember that when the check stops. You're going to get a call.
We are big fans of Dick DiBartolo for many years. I grew up reading his marvelous humor in Mad Magazine. Literally grew up reading his humor. It's not that he's that much older than me. It's that he started writing when he was in high school. Still writes for Mad Magazine and also joins us every week to talk about gadgets because he's the gizwiz. Yes.
Well, you know what? It's so funny because I was writing about this last week when you said a word that I haven't heard for 20 years, terrarium.
Okay. Used to be the thing along with making macrame door hangers. It was just all the rage. Yeah.
Yes. Well, the main purpose of this is an aquarium, but if you want to have fish in your office in a very easy way to take care of them.
I do.
This guy is really, it's called the Biorb Halo 15.
The Biorb Halo 15.
Halo 15, yeah, it's there at gizwiz.biz. It's 15 liter, which equals 4 gallons. They make bigger ones.
Not very, it's a little one. It's a little. It's like a goldfish bowl kind of. Almost.
Yeah, exactly. But they do make bigger ones on, actually, I said to the woman, is there a measurement for how many fish you can have in a fish tank? She said, yes, it's 1 inch of fish per gallon of water.
Oh, good. Because, yeah, you don't want to crowd fish. People are, that's mean.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So now this has remote control, LED lighting.
Ooh, okay. Now I know why Dick wants it.
There you go. Right, the fish can dance at night. Okay.
Dancing fish.
Dancing fish. And if you don't want to fish, you can then just make a terrarium.
So does this have a pump? I mean, how does it work?
It has everything, Leo. It has a little pump. It has a filter that gets changed once a month.
Okay.
I said to the woman, my father had it. We had to get a net and get the fish
out. I used to have to clean the tank.
Yes.
Every month.
Yeah. There is no cleaning at all. So what you do is you leave the fish there. You pull out the filter, put in the new one, and then change 1/3 of the water with the fish in there.
Yeah.
So it is a trouble-free way to keep the fish. And then the pump pulls the fish waste down and stores it in a little container. So when you take the filter out, the fish poop goes with it. I learned that from the executive, too. It's fish poop.
It's fish poop. Okay. Is that what that is? All right. It goes with the filter. That's as long as it's not in the house.
Exactly. And it's acrylic, so you could drop it on the floor 10 times stronger than glass.
You can bowl with it. It looks like a bowling ball.
Yeah, great idea. Yeah.
16
terrarium bowling.
Terrarium bowling. Those fish love it. 16 preset colors. That's kind of cool. You can relax as the aquarium gently fades through the entire spectrum of color.
Exactly. So you get everything. It's under $100. You get the aquarium. You get the 12-volt transformer, the remote control, the filters, the ceramic media, the cartridges, the water conditioner.
It's only $100.
It's $100.
Boy, they have 8 gallons. They have 16 gallons. Wow.
Yeah. They jump up.
So how many inches? But that's 1.5 feet of fish.
In the big guy.
Yeah, 16 gallons would be, 16 inches, right?
You're going to put a couple of barracuda in there.
One long fish or 4 small fish.
Yes, exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, I made a mistake when I had my fish tank. I got some fish. They sounded kind of cool. They were called fighting fish. But I didn't realize they fought each other. And it was pretty much Armageddon. There was one fish standing, and that was it. So my advice, do not get a Siamese fighting fish for your brand new bowling ball.
Get docile fish.
Docile fish.
Docile fish.
Yeah,
exactly.
And don't get, if you watch Finding Nemo and the kids see the Nemo, do not get that fish because that fish can only be caught in the wild and it's cruel. You don't want to get those. Get a little goldfish. They're fine. They don't eat each other, as far as I know.
There you go. Drop in a little TV so they can watch it.
Right. Well, you got the disco lights. Just pump some, Donna Summer.
What
more can you ask for? Ladies and gentlemen, you'll find more about this the disco ball of fish tanks at gizwiz.biz for the Biorb Halo 15 Aquarium. Gizwiz.biz is Dick's website. It's also a great place to go for all sorts of stuff, all the things he talks about on ABC's World News Now and on this show and on the Screensavers, his own show, gizwiz.tv. And don't forget the What the Heck Is It contest, a chance to win an autographed copy of Mad Magazine for if you can identify this road sign. Wait a minute. It's a, that's a one-way arrow, right?
I cannot give you any hints, sir.
This is some sort of gadget.
Even though you're my friend.
No hints. Well, you know what? I once got an autographed copy of Mad Magazine, so I'm happy. It's from Jack Davis, yeah, but, you know.
No, it was great. I got $17 for it on eBay. I did.
We love Dick. Dick DiBartolo. Go to gizwiz.biz to learn more. And don't forget the podcast, the Gizwiz podcast, gizwiz.tv. Thank you, sir. Michael in Los Angeles. Hey, Michael. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi. Hey. Leo?
Yes.
Hi. Yeah. Thanks for taking my call. I just have a question about the Outlook, you know, the Windows 2013.
Yep.
On the email.
Yep.
I don't understand why it keeps popping up refreshing every 2 minutes as new, even I read the email. Do you know anything like something?
So new? Even if you read an email, it shows up as new.
Yeah, like a couple of minutes later, you know.
Do you? Is it the alerts you want to turn off, or you don't want that email to look new every time?
No, I don't want to look.
Yeah.
If I read it, you don't want to see it again, you know.
Yeah. So it's in the settings. And there are a couple of settings. What you want to do is make sure that it deletes the email as it downloads it. Are you using, do you know, POP or IMAP?
IMAP.
IMAP.
Yeah.
All right. See, IMAP should be smart enough. There's some sort of handshake issue. The IMAP, POP's the old way of doing email where you download all the email and then delete it off the server. IMAP's great. It keeps the email on the server. That way, if you have 10 computers, you always see the same mail. And IMAP should be smart enough. So Outlook needs to communicate with the IMAP server and say, hey, look, he read the email, so it's not new anymore. You don't have to download it anymore. I would check your settings. Make sure that you've got it set correctly. Who's the IMAP provider? Is it your internet service provider? Or
GoDaddy.
GoDaddy. You might even call them and tell them that, because I bet you, or just Google GoDaddy IMAP settings. And make sure that the settings that they suggest online on the GoDaddy help page are the same as you have in Outlook. Okay?
Okay.
And go through those settings. If everything looks all right, the other thing you can do is delete the account. You're not deleting the email when you delete the account on your Outlook and recreate it. And sometimes that's just enough to get what's happening is the handshake isn't working. Your Outlook on your desktop isn't telling your IMAP server, hey, he read this. He read this. It may also be an indexing issue with the mail on the GoDaddy account. And so go into the web version of the email and see if there's a re-index and make sure it does that. Sometimes it gets stuck and it thinks this is new mail every day. You don't want that. We'll put a link in the show notes to the GoDaddy page where it helps you set that all up. Hey, thanks for joining me. Thanks to Nathan Staten, our musical director, Heather Hammond, the phone ranger, and thanks to you for joining me. We'll see you next time. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Bye-bye. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy show for today. Thank you so much for being here. And don't forget, it's just the tip of the iceberg. We do nearly 30 shows on the Netcast Network. It's called TWIT, T-W-I-T. It stands for This Week in Tech, and you'll find it at twit.tv, including the podcasts for this show. We talk about Windows on Windows Weekly, Macintosh on Mac Break Weekly, iPads, iPhones, Apple Watches on iOS Today, security on Security Now. I mean, I can go on and on and on. You even get your daily dose of tech news with Tech News Today. And, of course, the big show every Sunday afternoon, This Week in Tech. You'll find it all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next week with another great Tech Guys show. Thanks for joining me. We'll see you next time.